Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, the Lord doesn't have us in a life that's just the same all the time, because He's wanting to take us down the journey we talked about last week. He's laid out that path for us. And it isn't just a humdrum, okay, here we go again kind of thing. The Lord has things for us to learn all along the way. And, I was sitting around last evening thinking about meditating and coming in this morning, and it seemed like the further I got along, the less anything was quickened to me. But I've had thoughts that the Lord's going to have to organize, and I have no idea how long this is going to be, so stay sharp in case the Lord gives something to somebody else. But I kept having the word overcoming come back to me, and I know that's a key to what the Lord seeks to produce in every one of us. And you know how many times that's mentioned, for example, in the book of Revelation, to him that overcomes, and so forth. Over and over again, you have that word coming into play. And one of the things that my mind did go back to, and then I feel like the Lord didn't want me to go that direction and just kind of develop that thought, but it goes back to the beginning of our creation. You remember how the Lord created everything in this beautiful, nothing, there was no death, there was no sin, there was no nothing of the curse that we're familiar with today. And it was all there. And then what was the last thing He did in the creation? He created man, and by man He means, unlike what many people think today, it means male and female, created He them. And but what did He do? What was their relationship with the creation? They were created to have dominion over this beautiful creation that He had. And we were not created like the animals. We were created in the image of God. So, you know, what all that means, it certainly means we have an intelligence. We have a will that's able to operate. We have creative imagination. We have so many things that were built into our makeup when we were created in the beginning. And, on the surface, it looks like, okay, here, just go ahead and be fruitful, fill the earth and all of that. But we know what happened, don't we? We know that there was a temptation to take God's gifts and to begin to use them selfishly. And something we've discussed many times, the temptation was that, you know, basically God's holding out on you. You have all this to serve your interests, to gain what you want out of it. You can pursue your own godhood, basically, and make self the center. And so they fell for it, and there they were. In that condition, and God actually, the Lord came down. Of course, it was the one we know as the Son of God, was the one that came down and walked with them and came looking. Aren't you glad He comes looking? That He doesn't base everything on our goodness because we haven't got any. But He came looking and said, Adam, where are you? And He had to face the fact that Adam had sinned, and Adam and Eve had sinned. And so, what was the immediate consequence of that, of course, was that, well, an animal had to die, didn't it? It was a sacrifice. There was some death that began to be introduced right off because the Lord fashioned skins to cover their nakedness. But the main consequence was that they were expelled from this beautiful place that God had created for them to have dominion over. I mean, Adam had such built-in intelligence from the moment he was created that he was the one who named all the animals. I mean, think of the place of honor, the place of dominion for which we as God's creatures were created. And there they lost it. But then the Lord said, now we got a problem, basically, to put it in to paraphrase, because we don't want this man and woman who have now fallen into sin to be able to also take of the tree of life and live forever. Now, that's another subject we've talked about in the past. We got a doctrine that says they're going to live forever anyway. But anyway, that's not so. But anyway, there is a death that fell upon the human race, and they were expelled from the garden, and the way of the tree of life was blocked. And then you remember, of course, how Cain and Abel came along. And they brought offerings to the Lord, didn't they? One brought a lamb, the other one, I haven't looked up these things, obviously. I didn't have any time to think about this or prepare, so it's going to sound like it, but that's all right. But anyway, they each brought an offering to the Lord. Somehow they knew enough to do that. And Cain brought of the fruit of the ground, didn't he? Whereas Abel brought a firstling of the flock, I think it says in the King James. And God recognized Abel's offering, but did not recognize Cain's, and Cain was upset about it. But do you remember what the Lord said to Cain? Yeah, if you do well, won't you be accepted? But if not, what happened? What's the deal? What's going on there? Sin lies at the door. There's this terrible power, terrible principle that came and was like a raging animal, a ravenous beast. Said it wants to have you, and you've got to overcome it. And the word that I had that just kept coming to me was this overcoming, as I said. That we have been brought to a place where in order for us to fulfill our destiny, there's going to have to be some overcoming. Because what happened was the entire world fell under this terrible power of sin and darkness. And there were a handful of people throughout history who reached out to the Lord, and God gave them strength and gave them a way where they could be right with Him through sacrifice. See, death has to happen, doesn't it? And so, anyway, and we see just a glimpse, by the way, of man's destiny and what's been built into him and where God is going with this journey we talked about last week in what happened at the Tower of Babel. You remember long after the flood, where God had said, spread out and fill the earth and all of that, they decided, we're going to stick together. And so they found a place that there was to their suiting, they were suitable to them, to their liking, I guess is the word. And they decided they're going to build them a city. And not only that, they're going to build them a tower that reaches to heaven. Man, we're going to do whatever it takes so that we won't be scattered. We're going to just take hold. And the Lord come down, said, whoa, look what they've started to do. And if they're allowed to continue, then what did he say was going to be the consequence? Nothing that they've set out their hearts to do would they not be able to do. I mean, you talk about the godlike characteristics that are built into the human race, and yet now you've got a corrupted race that's basically in opposition to God. They are enemies of God. And now we're going to go forward, and God had to disperse them by confusing their languages so that people couldn't understand each other all. And then you go out and you see the history unfold. God deals with Job, and then he deals with Abraham and so on. We see the unfolding of history. But God was pointing in a certain direction. God never gave up on his original dream, is not the word, his plan, his purpose, to have a family. But it's a family who would absolutely come to possess a brand new creation. Remember the description, how after the judgment scene in Revelation 20, you come to the beginning of chapter 21. Read it sometime. And you'll see this glorious picture. No doubt there's symbolism involved, but the picture is very clear of God coming down and being able to live with us. Wow. Something's changed. Something major has changed, where God has absolutely fulfilled a purpose to have a people that are so pure, so like Him, so filled with His likeness, His glory, set free from all that is wrong with this world, that He can come and literally dwell among us. Praise God. Praise God. And then it says all these other things, this death, this suffering, this crying, these tears, all of that is gone away. It's passed away. Not like there's going to be some little corner of the universe where people are screaming. This is done away. There is a total end that God has decreed for this present creation. But he has called us out of this present creation. And after the Lord describes this scene, that's very little of Revelation is future in the sense that it's beyond this age, but that little passage is for sure. But then he says, to him that overcomes, you will do what? Inherit all this. There's going to come a creation. Now, you remember what the first creation was about? You remember how the Lord created man in his own image? And there they were, and he put all of this creation under their charge. I've many times imagined, or a number of times imagined, the devil looking down and said, what? Those little naked apes down there, they're going to rule over me? And you see the pride that began to emerge in him, and he came up with a way to gain power and gain authority. And so we see a world that has fallen under his dominion, under the power of sin and death. And now God has called us out of that. And he has called us to be overcomers. Now, how in the world are we going to do that? There's not a person here who has power to never sin, to never do wrong. Aren't you so glad that it isn't just a matter of law? When God gave laws, he didn't give it as a pathway to salvation. He gave it to show us our need. And I don't think any of the things that I've thought about just really since I've been on the way this morning, any of these thoughts that have come to me are new to us. But somehow I feel like the Lord wants us to realize. And you know, it's one thing to talk about the journey and the fact that the Lord is with us and he's marked it out for us. But what's happening during this journey is that God is bringing forth a company of overcomers. Now, we think of overcoming, a lot of times we'll think about, oh, stuff out there. I've got to conquer this, I've got to conquer that. You know what we need to conquer? Was Jesus an overcomer? Did that mean he took over the world and changed everything outside? No. In fact, the way he overcame was dying. That was a way out to say, devil, you can't have any of this. You cannot have any of this. I am so set on serving God that I'm willing to die to all this. How does overcoming happen? They overcame him by blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, but don't forget the third part. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And that's where the battle is.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.